Now, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to be talking with you about what really matters. What really matters. I hope you'll bring your Bible. And I'm going to ask you this morning to turn to several passages of Scripture. First of all, let's just go to Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1. Something happened to Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road that he never got over. And that something must happen to you and to me if there's ever going to be a change. And that something that must happen is a God thing. It's something God does. Not something you do. It's something God does. And so, I doubt that there are 5 people in here who have not been in church, been religious, there's something religious about you. You are counting on something religious that you have done. Let me just start off by saying you need to find out what really matters. And I would say this to you. Your religious activities do not matter. What you do really doesn't matter. What matters is what God does to you and in you and through you. That's what really matters. Now, Genesis 1:1, then we'll go to the Gospel of John. Just one verse here in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Let me hear the Bible leaves turning. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Now let's turn over a few pages to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 19. Circumcision is nothing. And uncircumcision is nothing. In other words, it doesn't matter. But the keeping of the commandments of God. Now let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation or creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And now let's go to Galatians chapter 6. And verse 15. Listen now. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. Well, what really matters? A new creature. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. A new creation. These words are amazing, coming from the Apostle Paul, the former Saul of Tarsus. Because for him, over 30 years, circumcision was everything. That was the Jewish message. Except you be circumcised, you cannot be saved. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, he says, I was blameless. I was clean as a hound's tooth. I was without blame on the outside. I was a good moral person. I was religious. I persecuted the church in my zeal for religion. So circumcision was everything to this man. But something happened. Something happened. Has something happened to you? Something happened to this man. He came to see what really matters. Have you? You still hanging on to stuff? Have you come to see? You must be born again. You must be made by God a new creature. That God must come to you. And He has nothing to work with as far as the material is concerned. There's nothing for you to offer God to help Him fix you. I'm not talking about where Christians differ this morning. I'm talking about what really matters. There are people in here who believe in sprinkling. There are those of us who believe in total immersion. We differ there. But that doesn't matter. Some are Baptists, some are Catholics, but that doesn't matter. I'm talking to you about what really matters. Some of you can drink wine and be okay. Some of you can't drink it at all. But that's not what really matters. We're talking about what really matters. Talking about how do you become a Christian. The answer to what really matters is a new creation. There must be a new creation. Amen. And the only creator that I know of is God Himself. A new creation. And then a faith. Not a dead faith, but a living faith that works. The demons believe and tremble. Salvation is not by works, we know that. Or by grace are you saved through faith. What kind of faith? A faith that works. And that faith is not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Even the faith that you have must come from God. You are hopeless in and of yourself. That's why we so often say, lay the shotgun down. Surrender. You can't save yourself. A new creation with a faith that's active and a faith that works out of love to Jesus Christ. I serve Him because I love Him. Not a service that's trying to gain acceptance. Because Jesus has already paid it all. The debt has already been paid. You can never work enough to gain acceptance with God. That is a sovereign act whereby God accepts us in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:6 says that. The answer to what really matters is then a new creation that works by love and keeps the commandments of God. Not changing your ways. Not laying down the bottle. Not laying down the crack pipe. Not an attempt to keep the Ten Commandments out of a fear that God will damn you. But first and foremost, you must be regenerated, born again. You must be subjectively acted upon. And this, I think, is where we probably lost the gospel in our churches and in the United States. We're always telling men that they must do something. When the truth is, man is dead and inactive toward God, and God must come to him and give him life. And that's why some of us are so happy about this message of God's free and sovereign grace, that we have been regenerated, we've been quickened, we've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus, and it's something God did. So when we talk about what really matters, we say a Christian is a new creation. And what does that mean? It simply means this, a Christian is a work of God. The only people that are Christians are people who have been worked on by God. The Bible says, and the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, you were dead, and I quickened you. I made you alive. But in the 10th verse, he says this, we are His workmanship. We are God's workmanship. Created. Created. That means there was no matter there for God to work with. We were created. We are God's workmanship created. See, you don't need a little push. You need to become a new creation. And you're not a creator. Oh, it's a good thing when man steps back and says, nothing in my hands I bring. I come just as I am without one plea. And what we've created in this nation and in our churches is what I call juicy fruit gum salvation. People come down the aisle wanting to help Jesus out. Jesus doesn't need any help. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. None can stay His hand nor say unto Him, what doest thou? And you've heard me say thousands of times and a thousand more before I get to heaven. Say, I found Jesus. He wasn't lost. You were lost. I was lost. And He left the 99 and came after us and found us and lay hold on us and put us on His shoulders and took us back to the fold. And we give Him the glory and the praise. That's why we sing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Who would ever thought of this if God had not revealed it? I know the gospel's true. It is such a spectacular story. No one would have ever thought of this. No way. I say, I don't want to go down to that church. Nothing but a bunch of hypocrites down there. You're right about that. I mean, we are. We're all wearing a mask. But we're new creatures. We're new creatures. My friends, despite of our problems, we're works of God. Isn't that true? And, you know, the suburbanite folks who are here with us today, many of you visiting with us today, the folks over at the mission, the pastor himself, I'm a work of God. I'm a work of God. And it's amazing to me. It's the most amazing thing on earth that I am a child of God. And you know what? I haven't got over it yet. Some of you got over it too quick. Whatever happened to Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road, he never got over. He was just always saying this, I was a blasphemer. I was injurious to the church, but I obtained mercy. Is anybody like that here today? I obtained mercy. I used to think as a kid, you know, the longer I was a Christian, the better I'd get. I found out that, you know, it's like somebody going to prison. In prison, you learn a lot of new sins. I'm of this opinion. The longer I live, the meaner I get. In my flesh dwells no good thing. But I've been born of the Spirit of God. I have a new nature, too. And that new man is pressing on the upward way and loves holiness and righteousness. And those two me's are at war with one another. My flesh and my new man. Those of you who have followed me around have heard me say, first time I went to Niagara Falls, I tell this about the men of grace. This is the way I usually introduce them. First time I went to Niagara Falls, I said, God did that. First time I saw the ocean, I said, God did that. The first time I went to Mammoth Cave, I said, God did that. First time I went to the Petrified Forest, I said, God did that. And every time I hear men of grace sing, I say, God did that. God did that. We are wonders of the grace of God. Now are we the sons of God, John said, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So, I'm saying to all of you today that God alone can make a Christian. And we just leave it there. God alone can make a Christian. God alone is Creator, a new creation. Now, no church can do that. There is no magic holy water that can do that. No morality that can do that. And those of us who are converted know that's true. How many times have you told the Lord this? Okay, I did it again. But that's it. Somebody says, so-and-so relapsed. How many times have you relapsed? I'm not just talking to drug addicts in here. I'm talking to me and all of you folks who've never used drugs. How many times have you told the Lord, I'm never going to do that again? And what's wonderful is, He never looks at us when we come back and go, not you again. He's always there to forgive us. In considering what really matters, let's note this, that Paul says circumcision availeth nothing. In other words, externals do not matter. Those external things that you do in religion, they're null and void as far as God is concerned and as far as the saving of the soul. I don't care what you're doing religious, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. And in the early church, circumcision had become this bone of contention in Acts 15. And the apostle said, it's not necessary. Boy, that gets a lot of people's dander up. When I say baptism is not necessary to salvation. When I say, no, it is not you taking the grape juice and the bread into your mouth and digesting Christ with gastric juice. You could eat all the communion bread and drink all the grape juice and still go to hell. It's true. Because externals don't matter. You have to have something much more than that. The bug that is in the apple or the worm in the apple is much deeper. It is much deeper. And observing the Lord's Supper can't take that worm out of the apple. In the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul and the Galatian churches had lost the gospel. And he said to them, if someone comes preaching another gospel in the Corinthian letter, he said to the church at Corinth, you seem to receive him. He said, I've espoused you to one husband, even Jesus Christ. And you're to have a single-mindedness toward Jesus Christ. You know when a man is unfaithful to his wife? When he looks at another woman. You know when a saved person is unfaithful to God? When he looks to another God. It's very, very true. We're to have a single-mindedness toward Jesus Christ. I know what people say, and you know, I'm always preaching Christ. I hammer middle C. If you've heard me, you've heard me. You folks really don't have to come back next Sunday to know what I'm going to preach because it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be Jesus Christ. That's it. Because that's really what matters, a new creation. External things, ceremonies. Some of you are big on ceremonies. I'm glad we kind of get happy in here because it messes up a lot of people who are used to that spooky Halloween music at church. It kind of shakes folks' boat a little bit when they come in here and somebody is just tickled to death about being saved. Because you're supposed to sit stoic in the congregation with a stare and make a few outward gestures, but never raise your hand. I noticed a lot of hand raising in here. That's a good thing. So things that are external just don't matter. In fact, it's nothing. Some of you have a cross around your neck. That's not the pass into heaven. I've seen several mafia leaders in the news and they have a cross around their neck. Now there are three areas I think where people go wrong with regard to what really matters. One is ceremonies. The other is what we abstain from. You know, as a kid, that I never went to the show until I was like 19. And then I snuck out and I saw Pat Boone. And I think the movie was State Fair, and I knew I was going to hell. I sat there with my girlfriend and watched that movie at the drive-in out on Grashit. The reason I went to Grashit is because our church was at 8 Mile and Van Dyke. And I knew if I drove to Grashit and saw the movie, probably none of the church members would be there to see me. I never played cards. My kids won't play cards with me. I never played pool. I never had a phys ed class. Because you had to wear shorts. That'll send you straight to hell. Abstaining, abstaining, abstaining. But I'll tell you this. I'll tell you what abstaining people will find out about themselves. You think you're so good. And you'll judge other people. You can't go to the movies and be happy. You can't play pool and cards and be happy. Get that smile off your face. You see, people who trust in externals, those things don't matter. They just don't matter. And then there's moral codes. Secret societies. You know, I know I'm going to probably mess up here. If you're a Protestant, you may be in the Masonic Lodge or something and, you know, wear the ring and crunch the fingers. And I'm probably getting on somebody here a little bit. You know, Masonic Lodge, okay, do a lot of good things. So does Rotary, do a lot of good things. But that ain't going to get you to heaven. Or being a member of a church. You know the story. Makes you no more Christian than walking in your garage makes you an automobile. You know that's true. You don't go to church. I'm a Christian. Something magic happens. The truth is that the God of this Bible must walk this aisle and come where you are. And do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Somehow we've got beyond this thing that salvation is a miracle and a wonder. And we've lost the wonder of it all. That's why there's not much shout in the church. Ceremonies, moral codes, they just don't matter. People have told me for almost 50 years now, I'm keeping the Ten Commandments. Really? I love to do this. I love to do this. Name them. Most people who give that answer, that's a religious answer, they don't even know the Ten Commandments. One lady said to me, well, I know one of them because my grandmother always used to quote it, every tub must sit on its own bottom. To this day, I really don't know what that means. How can you keep them if you don't even know them? And one man said to me this, well, I mean like 60%. You know, keep six of them. You say, Pastor, people don't actually believe that. Ask yourself that. How much time do you spend talking about the Ten Commandments and being good? I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. You must be made a new creation by God Himself. God's going to have to get you and create you anew because you're off base. I've heard people say this. Well, you know, Pastor, I had a good, you know, my mother. Bless her soul, my mother. You can't go to heaven on your mother's coattail. And she might have been a wonderful mom. I had a wonderful Methodist grandmother, the godliest woman I've ever known. And she had a great deal to do with me seeing beauty in Christ. But Ma Nanny couldn't take me to heaven. Only God could do that by making me a new creature. You see, don't miss the essential. But I'm trying to get you to this point where you're thinking this. You know what? I'm religious. But I've never experienced what that man's talking about. I want you to think about that as we do these messages on what really matters. And then many of you have your own moral code. It's whatever's right for you. You know, you follow this thing of it's relative. Everything's relative. If it's right for me, it's right. Some of you go the food route. Some of you smoke. Some of you, you don't smoke. Some of you, you know, who smoke, don't think that'll take you to hell. It may get you to heaven sooner. But there are many things that just don't matter. And I lived in a church where I don't smoke, I don't drink, you know, I don't chew. You know the rest of the story. Don't run with girls that do. Abstaining from stuff has nothing to do with salvation. You can just abstain. Have you noticed that people who abstain too are miserable people? And they want you to be miserable. They're always trying to get you to abstain. And one of the reasons, and many times this comes up in conversation, many times people are shocked when I say this, but one of the reasons I tell folks, it's okay for me to have a glass of wine, because sin doesn't come in a bottle. Sin's in the heart. For some of you, you can't drink wine. You can't drink it, because off you go. You know, there are many things. There are so many things that we can enjoy in moderation. But if you can't do it in moderation, then it becomes sinful. Amen. I want this church to be a balanced church. I don't want you running around telling people, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't. One of the reasons we're not a Baptist church is because I would say to people as a young man growing up, and even as a young preacher, I would say things like, I'm a Baptist, when they would ask me, what are you? And I'd say, I'm a Baptist. I don't say that anymore. Because they would always say back to me, oh, you don't smoke. You don't drink. You don't go to the beach. You don't play pool. Well, I'm telling you, your name ought to say something. And so when we got ready to name this church, we called it Grace Gospel Fellowship. That's what we do here. We fellowship together about this marvelous gospel of God's free and sovereign grace. That's right. That's what we do. There are many things that just do not matter. And what you abstain from is not going to get you to heaven. I want to just ask you as we close here, where's your confidence? Where is your confidence? Where is your confidence? Where is your hope? Who is your anchor? My friend, you need an anchor in this life. I do. I need an anchor. Because life isn't so hot. This stuff happens. And most of it happens in my head and in my mind. And, you know, I'm struggling with all kinds of stuff. Anybody else in here struggling? But I got an anchor. I got an anchor. And my anchor holds. And my anchor is Jesus Christ. And here is all of my confidence. It's in Jesus Christ. And the apostle said this, God forbid that I should boast or glory save in the cross. In the Christ of the cross. The one who died at Calvary. I want to challenge you this morning with this question. What really matters to you? What really matters with God? Jesus Christ is the apple of His eye. And any message in any church that distracts in any way from the centrality of Jesus Christ is not a gospel church. We lift Christ up. And we say, look and live. Look to Him. Not to the church. And you can see how in religion, how churchianity and denominationalism distracts from Christ. I know there are churches named the Church of Christ. But you go inside and He's not central. He's something, but He's not all. You know, we often say here, we're a church where everybody's nobody and Christ is all. That's true. Christ is my hope. I'm complete in Christ. I'm trusting Christ alone. I dare not trust myself. I dare not. I am not trustworthy to get me to heaven. I'm fickle. And you are too. Stop lying. You know, it's amazing how down I can be and come in here and begin to praise the Lord and praise and worship. And I'm float. Anybody else like that? That's why we come together. And I sat there and thought, ooh, you're already here. And we had church before I ever got up. We had already excited the angels in heaven before I got up to speak. Because there was praise in this place. I'm saved by Jesus Christ alone. Here's one of the old hymns that the church used to sing. Not the labors of my hands can fill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no rest but know? Could my tears forever flow? These for sin cannot atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, look to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt, its power. Is that your confidence today? That's mine.